Welcome to What is Going Ohm's Conversations with Money show, where you get to learn the secrets of how love and money are interlinked in ways you never imagined, and transform your relationship with money for good. Here are your hosts, Sandy Sedgbeer and Sarah McCrum.
Hello, welcome to part four of Conversations with Money, co-hosted by me, Sandy Sedgbeer, and energy coach and consciousness of money expert, Sarah McCrum. Over the last 3 months, we've taken a look at money in a way that people rarely do and from various different angles. And in the process, we've discussed a number of widely misunderstood concepts that are inextricably linked with money. In part one, we looked at the essence of money, which is love. In part two, we talked about value and worth. And in part three, we talked about the power of attention and intention and how the current crisis might be pointing the way toward the birth of a new economy. Today, we're going to drill down a little further and take a look at the technology of manifestation and what you can do right now, today, in this present moment, to ensure that money is more abundant in your life in the next now moments. Sarah, it's good to have you back and be talking about money again with you. And it's interesting to look back over the last 3 months at how the conversation, this has been a course unlike any other course, really, because it has just been mostly a conversation between you and me. But within that conversation, there have been many concepts that have shared. And I know that you do a lot of transmission with your words. So before we talk about the technology of manifestation, just explain to us a little bit about transmissions with words.
Transmissions actually is part of the technology, so it's a perfect way to start. I started training with Chinese masters, I think 31 years ago. I met my first Chinese master, and he always used to talk about heart-to-heart transmission. And I didn't fully understand what he meant at that time, but the way he did his heart-to-heart transmission was that he would talk to us, and we would sit quietly and listen. And what we received was energy, and the energy was more important than the words. And it was the energy that changed us rather than his words. And we're used to a mode of communication where we think that it's the words, we listen to the words, and then we go away and implement things. And my next Chinese master also talked about transmission. She didn't use the word heart to heart, but again, it was this theme. She used to say the words are like packaging for the energy. So the words are like the paper and the string around an old-fashioned parcel. They're not really important. It's the energy that does the work. And what I've found, because I trained with them for so long and I've been working in this field for so long, that because my words and my energy are very aligned, I don't talk one thing and think something else at the same time like people do so often. And because I've trained in energy for such a long time, if you relax while you're listening, you will literally be able to feel your energy changing as I speak. So you might find yourself also really becoming much more relaxed or beginning to feel really calm about something. Or you may feel all kinds of different sensations literally in your body, in your energy. And what that means is that the change that we're talking about is already being activated within you. So you don't have to go away and work really hard at it. It's more like it's already happening and you need to create an environment within you that allows it to happen. It's a very, very different way of learning from the mental way of learning that we've been educated in.
I'm really glad you gave that explanation, because for many years, you know, I've talked about resonance marketing. And when people ask me to explain that, you know, to me, it's using the science of resonance for personal and business success. But for me, it is a frequency of authenticity. And if you can convey that, and it's usually got something to do with you being aligned with what it is that you're working with, your purpose, your mission, whatever it is. And that alignment creates almost like a clear line. I see it as a line of energy. you know, a string between me and you. And if it's very, very clear, then everything travels, energy travels along that really easily. If it's not, there's a wobble in that line for me. So to hear you articulate, you know, transmissions tells me it's the same thing. I just never really understood it in the way that you've explained it.
Yes, yes, exactly. And it's a real invitation to us to look at how we communicate and to see if there is alignment, both in terms of what we're doing and who we are, but also what many people do is they think one thing, they say something else, and they're feeling something else at the same time. And when you have that, there's no alignment in any of it. And so the transmission, you're still transmitting energy, actually, but what you're transmitting is confusion and very mixed messages. And that's why communication is often weird. It's like somebody saying, oh, I'm feeling great. And you can see or you can feel that they're feeling terrible. And you don't know what to respond to. Like, am I polite and say, oh, I'm so glad that you're great? Or do you respond to what's really going on? And it's so we have a lot of that mixed communication.
We do. And it's so interesting because, you know, we talk about the technology of manifestation. And, you know, if you aren't feeling it, you can't just say the words and expect it to happen. Because without that feeling behind it, you know, it doesn't have the magnetism, the power, the frequency. And it's not a straight line. It's a wobble.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And it's that's the thing about manifestation, because manifestation is a response to our thoughts and our feelings and also our conversations. Conversations are very powerful in manifestation. And so if we're wobbling inside, it's like we're sending a wobbly message to the manifestation technology. So what we think we're asking for one thing comes back to the same thing. It's like I'm saying, oh, I'd really like this to happen to me. I really want to be successful. And at the same time, we're feeling, oh, I'm never, ever going to be successful. And there's no definition of success in there either. So we don't really know what it means. And the technology has to respond to that kind of mess. And so what do you get? You get a mess. You get more of a very similar mess that you're already in.
Yeah. Why do you refer to it as a technology? What makes it a technology?
I looked up technology a long time ago, and a technology essentially is a way that we can enhance our productivity. And we tend to think of technology in a very physical way. So, you know, whether it's using vacuum cleaners or combine harvesters or something, there are ways that we've been able to expand our capacity way beyond our personal, individual, physical capacity. That's my fundamental way of looking at technology. And technology is based in science. So it has there's an order and there's a rigor to it. What I started to realize is that there are those outer technologies that we're very familiar with and we're enhancing all the time. But there is also what I think of as an inner technology, which is, again, it's based on science, but it's the science of energy and frequency and vibration, these things we've been talking about. So there are principles which work all the time, but it's a way of enhancing our capacity. And so if you think of traditional superpowers, this is where it's most obvious. A superpower is a way that a human being can do way more than they could normally do physically. Well, when you study energy and when you study energy with Chinese masters, they actually talk a lot about superpowers. We're constantly studying abilities to do things that regular human beings don't do, whether it's healing. Healing is a very common one where you could take a medicine. You could have an operation, that's physical technology, or you can learn the technology of healing. What are all the inner things that you can do to support your health? And it's remarkably powerful. So it is literally a way that we enhance our capacity, but using in an inner methodology, using frequency and energy and awareness and consciousness.
Now, these are all things that, you know, the runaway bestseller book, movie, audio, everything, The Secret, talked about as well. And yet, there's something about The Secret. Number one, it's never really convinced me. There's always been something about it. There's always been a wobble in the space for me. I'll say it that way, as if there's something there that isn't quite, it's not quite finished or it's not quite aligned. And many, many people have expressed their discontent because they did everything that they were supposed to do and they said all the mantras and the affirmations and they're still in the same place they were before. So how does what you have to share differ from The Secret?
First of all, what I want to say is that I think that when you learn any of these things, they're never finished. So we all enhance, we move everything a bit further forward than where it was. So The Secret brought in a very popular way the idea that what we think is the most powerful thing in the world. Actually, it's how we create is through what we think, and it wasn't new when it came in The Secret. My husband recently has been listening to Earl Nightingale, who was talking about having goals and also talking about the strangest secret in the world, and really started a lot of the personal development movement back in the 20th century sometime, I'm not sure the dates. And it was all there as well, but I think we each add to it. Now, what I found, because I had the same experience with The Secret, that it was very inspiring, but I found it really hard to get results because I sabotaged myself all the time. So I could say that I wanted something, but there was so much energy inside me that was contradicting that. And that was something that they didn't deal with in the film. And there are different ways that people deal with that. And I think this is one of the biggest ways that my work is different, actually. A lot of what we've seen, and it's come from neuroscience largely, is that you can retrain your brain, so to speak, by repeating things through kind of control of your mind. And I've read little bits of books around that. And personally, I know that it is possible because there are plenty of examples out there. But for most people, when the mind is what's already very messy, very disorderly, unclear, and unable to express with very pure transmission, like we were talking about earlier, trying to use your mind to fix your mind is actually a remarkably difficult thing to do. And it's especially because the whole system is messed up, and actually because the mind is such a tiny part of who we are. So what I found is that there were two things that were really important in terms of opening up my ability to manifest, and it continues to open up. It's not like suddenly you're just going to turn into Croesus and everything you touch turns to gold. We all have our own journey with this. But the first one was love. I really was very judgmental of myself. I was extremely critical and hard on myself, and many of the people I've worked with are the same. And so I would be saying, I really want this thing that's going to make me feel really good. And at the same time, I was saying, you know, you're a terrible person, Sarah. And it wasn't for me, you don't deserve it. It was, you're too small. You're not, you're just, I used to think that a mistake had been made when I was designed. And a lot of people feel that about themselves. It was like, you've got a fundamental flaw, or God got it all wrong. That kind of really deep thinking. And those two things just don't go together. Like, creating what you want at the same time as believing there's something fundamentally wrong with you, you're going to keep manifesting situations that prove to you that there's something fundamentally wrong, and it's a very, very difficult way of living. So what I had to learn to do was to open my heart, to actually heal all the relationships that had hurt me, so that I could actually open to love, and especially I could open to loving myself. That was the first really big thing, and it took me some years to do that. And the other really big thing for me, and the very simple way, was to explore something I was being taught about, which was called the light. And The light for me is not like, oh, you've got light and you've got dark. Of course, there's light and dark, but the light was something about being able to see a deeper truth, even in what we describe as dark. So where there's evil, where there's really bad things happening, or where I feel really bad myself, and this is where it's very important. There are parts of myself I just don't like, or I wish were different. To see the light in there, in the parts that feel really murky, that was the most incredibly simple way of clearing up the subconscious and the unconscious parts of myself that I don't think it's possible to do with the mind.
And you know, that's a really important thing, because I think it is, sometimes it is so hard for us to see the other side of the coin, to see what is beneath what we're looking at. I want to talk about that more when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Conversations with Money show with me, Sandy Sedgbeer, and Love Money, Money Loves You author Sarah McCrum. And tonight we're talking about the technology of manifestation. Still to come, the cycle of manifestation, choosing how you want to feel, and more about the light. We'll be back with more after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Time's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library compiled by recognisable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys. Plus, free book excerpts, audios and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who have walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com. I'll see you there.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your health care provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Sarah, you and I were talking last week, and you mentioned something called the cycle of manifestation. Tell us about this cycle and how it works.
Well, the cycle of manifestation usually starts with dissatisfaction. because we feel that there's something in our life that is not where we would like it to be. And we have a choice at that moment. Either we stay in the dissatisfaction and we complain and we become a victim of it, or we say, okay, let's connect with the technology of manifestation. And so what I recommend to people is first that when you feel that dissatisfaction, you relax, because relaxing helps you to get clear and makes you more powerful and more receptive. And then you ask for what you want instead. So it can be as simple as saying, oh, I feel tired this morning. Okay, relax. I really love to have more energy today. That's an ask. And I have a client who does that every single day. He simply asks for whatever energy he wants today, and it works brilliantly for him. But it could also be something much bigger. It can be something like, you know, your mum's sick, and you say, oh, please protect my mum. I would love my mum to heal. It can be something at the global level. It can be something very, very personal and tiny. So you relax, and then you ask. And then in order to maintain an environment where you are receptive and it's easy for the system, the manifestation system, to develop, to deliver to you, enjoyment is really powerful. And this is where so many of us let ourselves down, because instead of just relaxing and enjoying life, we think, oh, I don't think that's ever going to work. Oh, I'm still tired. It's not working. We have all kinds of thoughts that hold back the manifestation. And so it can't deliver properly. And if we can enjoy, just enjoy life, enjoy working, enjoy whatever you're doing, even if it's something you don't love, just enjoy it, then you're open and relaxed, and it makes the delivery much easier. So the delivery, you receiving whatever it is that you've asked for, is the last stage. So it is, dissatisfaction is step one, is the first part of the cycle. Relaxation is the second part. Asking for what you want is the third part. Enjoying is the fourth part. And the fifth part is receiving.
Of course, within there somewhere, there has to be a belief that it's possible. And I think most people, you know, they love the idea of this. And, you know, people are always buying books about money and thinking about how they can make more. But that kernel of, you know, it's out there, it's not here. And yet here now is the only way we can make it happen.
Yes, you know what? One of the things I found is you don't actually have to believe it. The only problem is if you don't believe it, you don't usually do it. So I've experienced myself where I've just thought, this is never going to happen, but I'm going to ask anyway. Now, you could say maybe that was an act of belief, but where it was so unlikely, and I really, I wouldn't say I believed it, and it happened really fast. And that really shocked me. It's like, oh, so the believing part is not as important as I thought. It's more important to do it than to believe it. And I heard a case just the other day of somebody who was like a real cynic. And she was being introduced to one of my courses about money by a friend. And she's an artist, and her friend persuaded her to ask for $10,000. And she was really shocked because she got it in a week. And she was a complete non-believer, at least as far as any of us can see. Whether it was her friend's belief on her behalf that made it work, you know, we could study the technology. So that's an interesting one. I think the thing to remember is that we are constantly manifesting, actually, anyway. It's always working. And so whatever we're experiencing is part of our manifestation. And that brings us to the point about the present moment. One of the things that I came to realize over a lot of practice is that the only time when you can influence your future is now. We often try to change what's happening now. Let's say you don't like what's happening now. It feels uncomfortable. You're in pain, or you're broke. You don't have enough money. You spend a lot of time thinking about where you are now. But now was actually manifested from the past. It's from thoughts and feelings that you've had in the past, combined with the whole of life you know, life itself, which is much bigger than you, have brought you to where you are now. What you do have power over is to influence your future. But that doesn't happen in the future. The influencing happens now. And it's almost too simple, I think, for many people to believe it. And this is the irony, really. But what you think about and how you feel now has a huge impact on your future. And to put it really simply, if you'd like to have a future that makes you feel happy, being happy now is the best way to manifest it. Once you're happy, put thoughts in there. Think about the mission that you're creating, the relationship that you're manifesting, or the improvement in your health that you're looking for, or the money that you really want to be receiving every month. But do it with the feeling. Because how you're feeling now will manifest more of that kind of feeling in the future.
You know, I think it's, in my experience, it's quite easy to accept that the thoughts I have today are going to influence my tomorrow. It's not quite so easy to accept that what I'm experiencing today is a result of what I was thinking last week or yesterday.
Yeah, because it makes you responsible. And look,
yes.
I don't want to say, because a lot of people say we create our reality. One of the things that's really different, I think, in the book that I wrote, Love Money, Money Loves You, and what money shared with me, is that there's an evolution going on, and that it's not just about, if I visualize my car, my house, my whatever it is that I want, that I can manifest all of that. It really was calling us to a bigger purpose and to creating some change in the world, which is what makes us feel good as human beings. And that the manifestation happens around that. If I want to create a certain change in the world, there's maybe a lot of money that I need, or some money that I need for that. And I need to live in a decent environment, and there are all these other things that go with it. But it did really, this book really takes us beyond the personal manifestation of just what I can see. So I don't ever say you create your reality, because that makes us kind of too responsible. It makes it all about me. And when I make it all about me, I actually forget the technology of manifestation. I forget the universe, if you like. I forget life. And it's all about me and life. And so if I can look back and realize that for months now, I've been sitting there complaining about how hard I'm working and saying, when I get this done, I won't have to work so hard. And anyone who's ever been like that will know that when you get this done, you continue having to work just as hard. Why? Because you were having that constant kind of, oh, I'm working so hard, feeling in you, and you literally are creating more of that in the future. And so it's when you say things like, I absolutely love what I'm doing, that what you find in the future is, I absolutely love what I'm doing. You might be doing something different by then, but you're absolutely loving it. Mm. And it's such a different energy.
Mm. You know, you put out a blog recently, which I really felt was important. And it was about, I think, what was it you called it? From recession to recess to reset. And you made a really good point, because you talked about how many of us at all levels of society have recognized that our economy has become overcharged and is contributing to the damage of human and other life. Many of us asked for a transformation to take place to heal humanity of its greed, stupidity and short-sightedness. Many prayed for the protection of nature on our planet. And when so many people make a deep, heartfelt request for the same thing, it produces a response in consciousness. It changes our experience and something happens. And that something is happening right now. And this is exactly it, you know, that I think, talking about finding the light beneath, you know, the dark or whatever is going on and looking for that light. I mean, it's a really important point to remind everybody that we did manifest this. I mean, may not have chosen to manifest it as a virus that's killing people. We wanted this reset, though. We wanted a reset, and none of us thought it could happen. But that was what we were collectively praying for.
Yes, and to reduce pollution so quickly, who would ever, yeah, ever have imagined that would happen in the time that it's happened? And you know what? If I'm honest, I know that there's a lot of fear and that there's a lot of confusion around the virus, but from day one of it, every single day, I've said I'm so grateful that this isn't a war, a world war. And really and truly, I think it's when we look back on it and when we shake out the truth and when we realize some of the mistakes that have been made, and some of the things that have been done that should not have been done, like creating fear at such a massive scale rather than clear factual reporting. And perhaps I suspect that we will learn a lot about what treatments worked and didn't work, and that we've done far too much of treating people in ways that were not effective for them. But when we shake it all out at the end, I think that we will realize that it was actually a relatively light way of bringing us to this compared to ways that have happened in the past. Because 100 years ago, it was a flu that killed people, that killed millions of people very, very quickly, the Spanish flu. There were plagues of a nature that this pales in comparison to those. Mm. And, you know, in the last century, there were two world wars, and we could have been, instead of sending everybody home and protecting people as much as we can, we could have been calling up young men and women to literally go into action and be killed in the most horrific circumstances, which is what we did twice in the last century as a global action, quite apart from all the wars that have happened all over the place. So I actually feel there's a massive evolution in terms of, if we're going to upgrade society and there's always disruption at the time, this is a relatively mild way of doing it.
I find it so interesting that in the midst of people being very worried about their future, you know, their jobs, their businesses, is this going to be anything to go back to? And when are we going to go back to it? People are also at the same time really appreciating the fact that they've got more time. They've got time to do things that they haven't had time to do, you know, forever. And all of the little things people are saying, oh yeah, but I really love this bit over here, and that bit I want to hang on to. I don't want to forget that.
A very powerful manifestation going on, and it's going to be really interesting to see countries as they try to come out of it, because at one level, many people are not wanting to come out of it. They don't want the fear and the worry, but they want the peace and the freedom. And so that's a very interesting dynamic that I've never seen in my lifetime, and I'm curious how that will manifest.
Yes, it is really interesting to watch that, and I can't help feeling that as you've got this dichotomous situation going on within people, you know, you can almost see them thinking about this, and because they've never experienced it either, and not quite yes. knowing how to go with it. You know, I want more of that, but then we've got this over here, and, you know, how can I? And I think there's going to be a lot of creativity coming out of it, a lot of creative ways that people are going to say, actually, I don't want to give that bit up.
So then it comes really to refining our manifestation ability. What do you ask for? And how yes. do you ask for the good bit over here and the good bit over there and the good bit over there, rather than saying, oh God, I don't want to have to go back to work, I love being free, where you're literally manifesting having to go back to work in a way that doesn't feel good. So yeah. this is where the power, the technology begins to work.
So how do you get people to the place? I mean, I know you're working with people all the time, where they actually can see and acknowledge that they have the power, that they did create, you know, whatever they're experiencing today, and they can choose differently.
Well, the first thing is helping people to get them small results. A lot of that comes through relaxation. I teach relaxation. It also comes through my transmission. I know that because I transmit energy, I can actually help people open up to results. So they get their early experiences quickly. And then when you've got a taste of it and you see how easy and light it is, it becomes easier to say, I'd like more of that, and go deeper. And then you have to start cleaning up all the messy bits, all the contradictions and the sabotage that you have in yourself. That's a bit of a longer process. And that's why, you know, the teaching tends to go deeper. But yes, it starts with relaxation and opening to the possibility that some good things could happen to you that have not been happening.
Well, I think many people are experiencing some good things. And as I said, I think they're appreciating it. And at the same time, you've got, you know, there's the light, and then you've got that darker bit, which is the worry about, you know, the normal, going back to some kind of normality so that they can just afford to live.
Yes, and that's why. So one of the things I talk about is the and. This is not unique. Many people teach this in any conversation about manifestation. One of the things that I notice is that the energy of money, which is really the energy of manifestation, becomes very alive when we ask for what seems a bit impossible. So it seems impossible to be able to work and make money, decent money, and have the kind some more freedom. That just seems impossible to most people. When we start to ask for something like that sincerely, it's like the energy, the all kind of wakes up and says, ah, here's a human being who's coming alive, who's actually asking for what they want, rather than, oh, I've got to go to work again. Oh, when's my weekend? I'm going to be free. They're actually engaging with life. And energy pours into you at that point, and it's actually much easier to manifest the and scenario than it is to manifest the either this or that, the compromise scenario. One of the things I also teach is always to ask for something or something better. So I would love this and this and this or something better. It's very powerful.
It is. You're listening to the Conversations with Money show with me, Sandy Sedgbeer, and Love Money, Money Loves You author Sarah McCrum. And tonight we're discussing the technology of manifestation. We'll be back with more after the break.
Edge of Conscious Radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Sarah, during the break, I was thinking about what you said earlier about, you know, you don't even have to believe it. And I have a little story to share, inspired by some of the work that I've done with you. But my personal trainer was telling me that she had an impossible wish, something on the horizon that she was really hoping would happen, but could not believe that it could possibly happen. And so I taught her a couple of little techniques and said to her, you know, do your visualization and build in three things that you can't imagine would ever happen and watch what happens. And she called me a week later and she said, I don't believe this. She said, apparently they were after our house and they thought it was beyond their capabilities. And it was just as we were going into lockdown and house sales were being stocked in England anyway. But she got the house. But she said that the part that really clinched it for her was that she had built in three things that had to happen for her to know that she had manifested this. And they were silly things, but they all happened. And that was the convincer for her. Not getting the house, but those three little things.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. I hear that so often when people do manifest something they want, actually getting the thing isn't nearly as important to them as the delight, and the experience, the feeling. It's like, oh my goodness, I really am heard. I really... It's like I'm somebody, there's significance, I'm part of something bigger, and I think that is immensely reassuring to us as human beings to realize that I'm not on my own, and also I'm not just on my own here with a bunch of other people who are on their own, because that's also not easy, even if we're connected with everybody else, but we're all somehow the same. But it's like it verifies something that we know in our bones and in our being, is that there is so much more, and it's a proof of that. And I find it's the delight in that time and time again, which is what makes life really, really feel worth living. It's not the thing. The thing just needs to happen. The house, the job, the whatever it is, that just needs to happen. But to delight in life, that makes us feel so alive.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it also gives us a sense of belief in ourselves and our own power.
Yes, because really we are extraordinarily creative. And even in spirituality, I notice that the creative part is often very ignored. We're taught how to get into a state of total peace where we never even really want to create anything very much. But we're not taught that when you reach that kind of peace, in fact, there's a creativity that can arise within you, as long as you don't obliterate it by saying, I must be peaceful at all times. There's a creative power, and especially when you're able to love more, love is the energy of creating. And we are a part of that. And I think we've suppressed our creativity even through our spirituality very often. And yet the truth is that we are so extraordinarily powerful that it's almost terrifying to think about it. Think about the responsibility of being precise and being clear and actually using this magnificent technology that we're a part of.
Well, one of the things, you know, that I notice, especially with people on a spiritual path, is that sometimes they will almost accept not having what they want because they think, oh, well, if I was meant to have it, if the universe wanted me to have it, then I would. And therefore, clearly the universe doesn't want to, so I better give up that hope or dream.
Yeah, number one excuse.
Seriously,
and it gets much more powerful when it's when God wants it or when God doesn't want it, because you can't contradict God, and so there you're completely stuffed. And I think we really have to get it, what the deep teachings say, which is that I am, the universe and I are, and I am a part of that. I am one with God. I am part of God. I'm made of the same stuff as all of that. And the way I say it to people, and some people don't like this, I see it that what I wish for in my soul and my heart, not with my head, not with my supposed to's and my ought to's, but really with my sincere expression of my soul, that is the God part of me. And I just see it like God or life or the universe or whatever is expressed through me and through all of us, not only me. And it's this remarkable thing how all our wishes are being fulfilled at the same time. And that therefore, I must really respect and honor what I wish for, and to deny what I wish for or what I long for is actually a denial of the spiritual nature of life. And some people don't like it, but I've observed for a long time now, and I notice the people who are waiting to be told what to do by God or by the universe are often not leading lives that are very fulfilling for them. Because in the end, they find themselves waiting more and more or trying really hard to do it right. And you can never really get it right. Like, you just always feel, you always feel that you're failing. Because, like, I'm never going to be as good as God, kind of thing. Like, if God asks me to do something, am I really going to be able to do it to God's standard? Like, we don't think that on the surface, but those are the thoughts that go on underneath. And I've been there and I've seen many people there. And that's what made me throw all of that out in the end, because I realized that it causes profound depression. So when we really recognize, I am part of all of this. I'm not separate. And I operate on the same principles. And life is expressing itself through me and through my wishes and through my desires. And so I'm going to listen and I'm going to respect them and I'm going to manifest them and I'm going to live them, because that's what makes my life feel really alive and really fulfilling.
You know, there's a school of thought that says it is our spiritual duty to make as much money as possible so that we can be free to do the work we came here to do. And I think when you say that to people, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, disconnect. Really?
Yes, I mean, definitely what I see is that being poor is a way of keeping ourselves small. And if we think being poor is really good, which many, many people do, there's a kind of worship of poverty, that is really limiting us, because really it means we're not contributing so much. Now, I don't say that in a way to criticize. I know many people find themselves in situations where they're poor and do not want to be. And that's where you need to start to really learn the technology of manifestation, because there are no circumstances in the world that are more powerful than your manifestation ability, actually. Every single one of us participates in this life power, this life creativity. And if we learn how to do it, we can all manifest. And I think that that's perhaps a much bigger spiritual duty, would be to share the knowledge of manifestation and of the energy of money and of this kind of stuff, this creativity and power that we have as human beings, so that everybody can make up their own mind. Like, you don't have to do a big mission. You could do a big mission. It depends who you are. Everyone's different. We all need different amounts of money. But to be limited by lack of money, that is putting brakes on your own expression. And human beings long to express themselves creatively, to experience the creative power that flows through us all the way through life. So I feel it's really important to connect all the dots here.
I want to go back to something that you said earlier, when you said that one of the first things to do is to learn to relax. Now, if somebody, you know, we usually find if somebody's actually determined to get a handle on this manifestation thing, the first thing they want to do is not relax. It's, I want to do something. Give me something to do. You know,
take massive
I need to know the
action.
Steps. Yes, yes, yes. So how do you get people to relax and do nothing?
You know what I do is I just, whenever I'm teaching, people have relaxations. It's like part of my teaching, you have to listen to these relaxations. So it's do it first and then see the benefit. And then I, honestly, Sandy, this is so crazy to me. I come across people who've been doing personal development and spiritual development for 20, 30 or 40 years. And the most basic relaxations, they say, oh my goodness, I'm really beginning to relax. I've never relaxed before. It's like, what on earth kind of world is this, where something so simple as to just do nothing and let go and let the energy flow through you in a relaxed way is so foreign. in a way, in all our spiritual endeavors. I think we get into trying and clearing my mind and all kinds of meditative techniques that are not necessarily relaxing. And actually, when you relax, you simply open up. You become more open to energy. You have more energy flowing through you. That energy is the energy of life, which is the energy of manifestation. And so you have more wishes, actually, because you're more relaxed. It's like, oh yeah, I'd really love that. And then more things happen. It's like, just do it first, and then you can discuss afterwards how it works, whether it works. Experience it, and then there's way less discussion.
I mean, the thing is, I think we're all ways to, you know, you've got to work at it. Whatever it is that you want, you've got to work at it.
I teach people to work light. Work, but do we have to work hard? Yeah, I teach a lot about working light these days because everybody works so hard. And working light is very relaxing. It's way more productive.
Well, I don't see any reason why we can't. We've only got a few minutes left. I did want to talk about some of the resources that you are offering to help people as we move through this strange situation in the world. You know, lots of things that you've got, activations and live webinars for parents and kids and all kinds of things. But just before we touch on those very briefly, a bit of homework. I think it's time, you know, we've been giving people homework to ask money a question and see what money answers. You know, can you give them another piece of homework?
Yeah, my homework is always really simple. So instead of asking money a question, ask money to do something for you. Just, you can do it lots of times. You could do it every day. So it could be, like I said earlier, maybe you'd like simply to feel a certain way today. Ask the energy of money, the energy of manifestation. Just say, you know, please. You can do it really like, please give me enjoyment. Ask it to give you something. You can ask for money. You can ask for anything, but ask for it to be done. Don't ask for it to help you to do it. Ask for it to do something for you.
Right. Good. And very briefly, because we've got about a minute, just tell us a little bit about all of the things that you're offering people at this time to help them.
Well, I run a weekly free webinar at the moment called Be the Solution, which teaches this kind of approach to responding to the global situation. How do we become creative rather than being victims or complaining or being afraid or feeling powerless? And I also have some free resources that help you to get started on transforming your relationship with money. And you can find all of that at courses.sarahmakram.com.
Good. Thank you very much, Sarah. I am going to make a big ask, I think, and I'll let you know next month how it resulted. That's it.
I'm looking forward to that.
Of Conversations with Money. And you can learn more about Sarah McCrum's book, Love Money, Money Loves You, and her Consciousness of Money seminars, workshops, and online courses at sarahmakram.com and theconsciousnessofmoney.com. If you want to know more about the No BS Spiritual Book Club or how to get your book, newsletter or magazine started, finished, published and promoted, visit sedgebeer.com and I'll let you know if I can help you. And we'll be back next month with another edition of Conversations with Money. That will be on Thursday, May the 7th. Till then, it's goodbye from me, Sandy Sedgebeer.
And goodbye from me, Sarah McCrum.